This is Donna Skoglund, and you are listening to the Pleasure Project podcast, episode 150. So for this 150th episode, I wanted to share about how I found my purpose. And I think this will be helpful for you because I talk to a lot of people who are at a place in their lives where they don't feel like they know what their purpose is, or maybe they have retired and they've lost their sense of purpose, or they're really craving a life that has more meaning, that feels more meaningful, that feels more purposeful. They want to make a difference. They want to help people, and they don't know where to start. So I feel very blessed to be living my purpose, to be crystal clear on what my purpose is, and to be able to do what I love every single day and have a life that feels so meaningful and so aligned. And when I look back at my life, I can see very clearly how I ended up here. And I want to share that with you today. And I think that this is something we all desire. We all desire to feel like we are doing what we're meant to be doing, and we're making a positive impact in the world and making a difference. I believe that finding your purpose comes from following your heart, following your desires. So when I think back, I've been doing that for as long as I can remember. So as a child, I wanted to be a ballerina, and I started dancing when I was 3 years old. When I was living in Houston, I took classes at the Houston Ballet Academy, which was the place you went if you wanted to be a professional dancer and join the Houston Ballet Company. And there was a point, and I don't remember exactly when it was. I think it was maybe in middle school, and you sit down with the board of directors of the school, and they basically tell you, you've got a shot at this or you don't. And that was a defining moment as a dancer. Like, you basically were told, yes, you can keep going, you can keep, you know, pursuing this profession, or try something else. And basically they told me that I didn't have the right body for ballet, and that maybe I should pursue modern dance. And I was crushed, because that is what I wanted to be since I was 3 years old. And I thought that that was going to be my career. I thought that I was going to be a ballet dancer when I grew up. So when they told me that I was not, that was not in the cards for me, I was so upset. And I didn't even know what modern dance was. And I was like, what is this modern dance? Like, no, I want to be a ballerina. But I believed them. And I then decided to go to the high school for the performing and visual arts and be, I think I first actually, I auditioned for the theater program, and I had never done theater before. And I remember I just laughed so hard at myself. You had to audition with a scene, and I did the classic Romeo and Juliet scene, like Romeo, oh Romeo, that scene, which I'm sure they were all laughing so hard at me because, one, I had never acted a day in my life, and then I come in there trying to do that scene, and obviously I didn't make it, but I can't remember if they suggested that I try dance, because there's basically five departments at the Houston Ballet, I mean, at the high school for the performing and visual arts. You can go into theater, dance, voice, art, or instrumental. And by the way, that is where Beyonce went for voice. We went to high school together, and she was in the vocal department. I was in the dance department. So I decided to audition for dance, and got in because I had been, you know, I had so much training. I was actually quite good. And so I went right into the advanced level of dance. And at that school, we did all types of dance. So we did ballet, we did modern, we did tap, we did jazz. And it was so much fun. I loved it so much. I actually did a lot of musical theater as well, which I really enjoyed. I love performing. I love being on stage. And after high school, I went to college, and I decided, actually, my mom encouraged me to not try to do something in the arts for a living, but to just do it for myself. And so I didn't major in dance. I minored in dance, and I decided that I would pursue psychology. And not because I had a strong passion for psychology, just because it seemed a little bit interesting, and that was really the only thing I could think of other than dance. So I actually minored in dance, art, and Eastern. I think I had a triple minor, Eastern religion, Eastern wisdom, and I majored in psychology. But as I took psychology, I realized I didn't, like, being a psychologist didn't seem quite it. So after I graduated college, I decided I was going to continue to pursue dance. And I had some connections with people from college, so I was able to do some performances. And I went to one audition. And that was a horrible experience. I remember feeling like I was way beneath the level of most of the people there. I wasn't taking my training seriously. I wasn't going to classes as much as I probably should have if I really wanted to be a professional dancer. And it was so disheartening, so demoralizing that I never went to another audition again. And I don't know if I consciously realized that I just really was not that serious about being a dancer. So I waited tables and I took some art classes. I took jewelry classes. I took pottery classes. And I was really, again, doing the things that I enjoyed. I enjoyed taking art classes. I think I maybe continued to take some dance classes. But I think at the point where I realized I was taking it less and less seriously, so I was not getting better. I feel like I was almost getting worse. And I kind of gave up on dance. And then as I was waiting tables, I met my now husband. And at the time, he was my boyfriend. And he went to the gym. And right above the gym was the Jivamukti yoga studio. And he went once instead of going to the gym. And he said, you know, I think you should go. I think you'd probably really like it. And so I went and I did. I loved it. And I started going to yoga. And then I was going 5 days a week. And then I decided, I want to know more about this. I'm going to take the teacher training with no intention of being a teacher, just because I was following my desire to go deeper and to learn more. So I took I think it was like a 300-hour teacher training, and it was a month-long immersion at the Omega Institute in upstate New York. It was an amazing, amazing experience. I loved it so much. And then right after that, I went right into an 800-hour mentorship with a teacher. That was like the advanced level teacher training. And again, I loved it. I was obsessed. I was taking all the workshops. I was reading all the yogic texts. I was, you know, taking additional training. I was completely immersed, and I was able to teach enough classes and get enough private students that I was able to give up waiting tables. And so I just taught yoga, and I was doing really well as a yoga teacher in New York City, teaching at Jivamukti and Equinox Gym. And then I got married and had our first baby, our first son, Max. And then we decided to move to Kelowna because of the quality of life, and because my husband wanted to be part of the family business. And, you know, there was only so, you know, he was working as a manager at a gym, and we needed to have a bigger space. We were in a teeny tiny one bedroom apartment, and there was just barely enough room for us to walk around the furniture. And we, you know, my husband knew that, you know, the family business was here for him, and that was going to be a stable career for him. And, you know, I was hoping that I would have help from family, because I didn't really have any family help in New York. It was just me. And so we moved to Kelowna, and I started teaching yoga, but nobody knew me and I wasn't established. So I, you know, didn't have any private clients, obviously, and I just found a place to teach. And I did that for a few years. We had our second son, and eventually we bought our first house. And then one day, my husband and I are having a very serious conversation. We're sitting outside on the deck, and I was, you know, just teaching a few yoga classes and not making very much money. And we had just bought this new house, our very first house, and we were just barely making ends meet. And my husband said to me, you've got to make more money. Like, we can't survive. And he suggested that I do insurance sales because that is what his brother's wife does. And I was shocked. First of all, because I was thinking, you do know me. Like, that's not who I am. I don't want to do that. That's not something I'm interested in or passionate about. And in that moment, I resolved to find a way to do what I love and make a great living. And so then I set to work. I think I started to teach more workshops in yoga. I think I taught some teachers' workshops because I had, you know, tons of experience. I had over 1,000 hours of teacher training, and I had some of the best teachers and mentors in the world that I had learned from. And so I came to Kelowna and I had a lot to teach people. I had a lot to share. And, you know, that helped, but it still wasn't enough. And then I started learning about Ayurveda. And I got interested and I learned a little bit more. And I took a program, 9 month long deep dive immersion into Ayurveda, and really learned all the principles of Ayurveda. And then I realized, you know, that the yoga was only going to get me so far in terms of the amount of income that I wanted to make and the lifestyle that I wanted to have and to be able to travel and live in a nice house and have a certain quality of life. And then I talked to my Ayurveda teacher because she was offering a coaching certification for teaching people the Ayurvedic lifestyle. And so I talked to her and basically told her my challenge that, you know, I'm not making as much money as I want to, and I don't really know what to do next. And so she said, you know, if you do this training, I will give you the process of creating a program to help people using Ayurveda. And it's, you know, that's the key for you. And so I trusted her. I believed her. I went all in. It was a huge investment at the time. And I borrowed money from my mom and my brother. We put money on a credit card for this teacher training, for this coach certification program. And to be honest, in the beginning, it wasn't that I was so passionate about becoming a coach. It was just that I didn't really know what to do next, but this just seemed like an option. So I didn't have the passion I have for it now before I started. And I just want to pause for a second. And I think often we think that we should absolutely know what we want to do before we start and know that this is going to be the thing, that this is going to be our passion, our purpose, but we often don't know until we're actually doing it. So I went on faith and I decided, okay, you know, this sounds a little bit weird telling people, you know, what time to eat and what time to go to bed and what time to wake up and what to do with their daily routines. And I actually didn't really think it would work, but I decided to just trust her. And, you know, she had created a very successful Ayurveda business and she was doing really well. And I figured, you know, obviously I can learn from her. I have a lot to learn from her. She obviously knows what she's talking about. So I took that first coach certification and I started coaching people in my program, Align and Thrive, which is all about the habits of Ayurveda. And people were getting amazing results and transforming their lives. And it was so gratifying to be able to help people. And I love to learn. So I love to just continuously learn about coaching and habit change and health and habits and Ayurveda. And I just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper into my own learning and practicing what I was teaching and applying it in my coaching business and learning about entrepreneurship and learning about business and marketing and sales and all the things. And I kept leaning a lot towards mindset, even though, you know, a lot of what I was teaching was health and habits and Ayurveda principles. But I really just kept wanting to know more about mindset and talk more about mindset. And so I just, in the beginning, this whole idea of mindset, I didn't even know what it meant, but something about it was really intriguing to me. So I read books. I read so many books, hundreds of books on mindset. And then I got curious about the subconscious and subconscious programming. And again, in the beginning, I didn't really know what that meant. It was very mysterious to me, but I just kept leaning in. I just kept being really curious and read books, learned as much as I could, and really got a great understanding of mindset and of subconscious programming. And so then the Pleasure Project happened, which I won't go into that story because there's a whole podcast on that. I think it's the first episode, so you can go and listen to that one. But that was the point where I realized the Ayurveda was amazing and I loved coaching, but it wasn't exactly it. It was missing some of the deeper mindset things that I wanted to talk more about and I wanted to focus more on. I wanted to focus more on the mindset than the Ayurveda. And I was kind of doing that, but I felt like the packaging was Ayurveda and the inside was mindset. And I wanted to just have every piece of, you know, my business be focused on the mindset. And so I decided to basically stop offering Align and Thrive and burn down everything I had done so far in my business and start fresh from this place of so much more clarity of truly what I wanted to focus on. And so I created the Pleasure Project program. I created this podcast, and I truly feel like more than ever, I am living my purpose and I'm giving myself full permission to follow my desire. And it's so interesting because I can look back at all the pieces of my history and see how they're all just beautifully woven into what I'm doing now. So I mostly the way that I market my business is through speaking. And when I was doing musical theater, I loved being on stage. I loved performing. And I feel like I get to do that now. I get to do that in my business. And I recently started dancing again. So I'm connecting back to that passion and that love. And I'll be dancing on stage in a few months for that. And that feels really exciting. And that feels like I'm, you know, bringing back these pieces of myself. And I started doing pottery again. So I'm starting to do more of the visual art using my hands. And there's so much creativity in my business as well. When I create programs, when I create content, when I create podcasts. So all these elements of my mindset and performing and being on stage and dancing and creating, it's all come together. So what is the lesson here? Oh, and I forgot to tell a little story. I want to tell this little story because I realized this. So when I had kind of given up on dance, my husband and I, we watched the movie. It's called Every Little Step, and it's a documentary about the musical A Chorus Line. And it's, you know, basically following all these Broadway performers and them kind of sharing their journey of auditioning and rehearsing for the performance. And there was one line in that movie where one of the performers was basically saying, "You can't have a plan B." And in that moment, my husband and I look at each other, and it was this knowing that both of us, he came to New York to be an actor, to pursue acting. I went to New York to pursue dance. Neither of us was doing that. We were waiting tables. And it was because we had had a plan B. The plan B was, well, I'll wait tables and I'll, you know, see what else I can do in case this doesn't work. And that was such a moment of clarity of, I was not all in on the dance. And when I think about my life now and what I'm doing now, I'm all in. I'm all in on coaching. I'm all in on my business. And through the challenges, through the fails, through the rejections, through the obstacles, I have an unwavering commitment and determination to make it work and to make it not only work, but to thrive so that I can create not only the business and the career of my dreams, but the life of my dreams, where I get to travel, where I get to live in a beautiful house and space and do the things I love and have time for self-care and to pursue my interests and my hobbies. So I think this is available to you. And the first lesson is you have to be all in. You've got to decide to be all in. And that goes along with the truth that when there's a will, there's a way. If you truly, deeply desire something, then you will find a way to make it work if you are that determined, that committed. And I believe that your desires are the map to your dharma, to your purpose. So you find your purpose by following your desires, by following the things that you love, that you're curious about, that you're interested in. So you want to pay attention to what those things are. And probably in almost every single coaching session I have, I always ask the question, what do you want? Because we're so used to living from shoulds or living out the past and continuing to recreate that, we forget that very, very important question, because what you want is what you are meant to have. I really believe that. So your dreams, your desires are meant for you. If you have a desire to do something, that's what you're meant to pursue. So if you believe that, then you will continue to follow those nudges, those callings, those interests, those curiosities, and you don't know where they're going to take you. Just like I had no idea that I would end up here being a life coach. I didn't even know what a life coach was 10 years ago. I really didn't. I mean, when I became a health coach, that was the first time I even knew that existed. So you don't know where it will lead you. And if you trust in what I said, that your desires are meant for you, your dreams are the map to your dharma. And if you just keep following the things that you want, then they will lead you exactly to the life that you desire. And you will feel like you are on purpose and living a meaningful life. So if you want support in this, if you want guidance, because the challenge is all the doubts, all the fears, all the limiting beliefs hold us back from following the things that we want, which is normal because our subconscious mind wants to maintain the status quo. And sometimes when what we want is different than what we currently have and what we're currently doing, it can feel very scary going into the unknown. And it can be really helpful to have some guidance through that process and someone to help you navigate into the unknown. So reach out to me, set up a free 60-minute strategy session if you really feel called to doing this work. I hope to talk to you soon and see you next week.